If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. I'm Matt Maiocco. She's Laura Britt. And we're back playing football this week, or at least some 49ers are back playing football.
We are not, Maiocco. Well, let's not confuse people.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about people playing football.
There we go.
Yeah. That's as good as playing, isn't it?
Sure. Sure. Minus all the injuries in the COVID list.
Yes. And that's a big one this week, the COVID list. The 49ers had 9 players on the COVID list. A couple have come off, Eric Armstead and Hronis Grasu. But as we talked to Kyle Shanahan on Wednesday, and the 49ers were going to take Thanksgiving off, they're still going to practice, but they're just not going to talk to us. As we talked to Kyle Shanahan on Wednesday, he was pretty certain that some players, he doesn't know how many or whom, will be on the list on Sunday and won't be available to play in this game against the Rams.
Yeah, that's a big concern, especially when you look at the past few weeks for the 49ers and the Packers game, which brings up an interesting aspect to something going on in the NFL right now. The Ravens and Steelers were scheduled to play for the Thanksgiving Day game, and that game has now been postponed. Well, that kind of reminds me of another Thursday.
Where are you going with this, Laura? Where are you going?
I've been on the Twitter. And I've seen the people, and they're upset about it, Maiocco, because they're going, why wasn't the 49ers game against the Packers postponed? There were some key players out. Debo Samuel was out, but he was going to be out anyway. Brandon Ayuk was out. Kendrick Bourne was out. Trent Williams was out for that game, which could have totally shifted how that game played out when you're missing already, you know, decimated by injuries. And then you add on top of that insult to injury with the COVID list. They're trying to protect the players. I get it. But why could that game not be postponed, but this game was able to be postponed is the question that I'm seeing a lot. And the NFL did have a response.
They did. But before I get to that, and the thing about the 49ers game was that there was so much confusion because Kendrick Bourne tested positive, then he tested negative. The other guys did not test positive. They were just close contacts. So if the NFL had decided to just postpone that game by one day, all those players would have been available to play in the game. And so what the NFL is trying to say is that it doesn't matter how many players are affected. It doesn't matter about the competitive advantage or disadvantage. It's all about stopping the spread of the virus. And if there's a situation where a team has been impacted by the virus and they haven't really gotten their hands around this thing and haven't controlled it, then they're going to look into postponing games. So I had the same question for you, I had the same question that everybody else had about the 49ers Packers game in relation to the Ravens Steelers game. And so I reached out to the NFL and their vice president of communications, a man by the name of Brian McCarthy, said this to me. And this is the reason the Ravens Steelers game was postponed. He said, the delay of the game gives us more testing time and provides greater comfort and certainty than playing in the Thursday game, when there could be additional issues that could affect both the Ravens and the Steelers and the rest of their seasons. So this is what he said about the Packers 49ers game. He said, we were able to identify and isolate the few cases that, and we're confident that there was no longer a concern for more spread among either team. Does that make sense to you?
Not really, because when you look, you wrote a piece about this on NBCSportsBayArea.com, or you can check it out on the My Teams app. And I was actually just reading some of what you heard from McCarthy. And the question that I had that you answer in your article is the fact that they say they were confident, but then more Packers players tested positive following that game. Or was it even following the game?
Well, it was before the game. The day after the game.
There we go. The day after the game.
Chris Barnes, who played 22 snaps on defense and a few snaps on special teams, he's tested positive. So that game was played November 5th, and he went on the COVID list November 6th. And as you and I are here talking right now, Laura, Chris Barnes is still on that list.
Right. So that's where you go, is this – could you be confident in the fact that it was controlled, because it clearly wasn't controlled? Everyone's trying to do their best. I really do believe that. And going into this season, we knew that there were going to be probably some questionable moves that are made in the season, because no one's dealt with this before. And trying to play, you know, a professional sports league, you know, season in the midst of this, they were able to look at what you know, the NBA did. They were able to look at what Major League Baseball did, but with the amount of players and personnel and travel and all of that, it's just a different bear. And I hate to say, I feel like that was probably the wrong decision, but from the 49ers standpoint, I'm looking at that going, what the heck? You know, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, those are some players that we really need. And the NFL's response to that was, it doesn't matter which players, they're just confident or not confident in the fact that they can control the spread of the virus. But it seems that maybe they weren't as confident as they thought in the spread of the virus between the Packers and Niners players.
Right, because Chris Barnes went on the list. He's still on the list. And then 2 days after the game, a Packers backup quarterback, actually third-string quarterback, Jordan Love, who did not play in that game, he also went on the list, but he has since been removed. So, yeah, I mean, the 49ers.
We're stirring the pot here, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. That's what we do. What else is there to do this time of year?
It's Thanksgiving. Let's stir the pot a little. We'll stir the cranberry sauce. It's,
exactly. Like you're reducing cranberry sauce on the stove.
Do you like cranberry sauce, by the way?
I only will have cranberry sauce with turkey, which brings me to my question to you, Laura Britt.
Yeah.
Does turkey taste good, or does it just taste good because you smother it in gravy and you have the stuffing and you have the cranberry sauce?
It depends. You got to do the bag, the turkey bag and the butter and all of that, because you can easily overcook a turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. And the key really for our family has been the pop-up timer. If you have the pop-up timer and then you know it's done, then you're good. You're not going to overcook the turkey.
Just a little tip. Back in the day, I remember, this was probably 10, 15 years ago, covering the 49ers, and all the guys back then, we'd talk turkey in the locker room during the week. And I remember the big thing was one of the guys started like having some of his teammates over to his house. And I can't remember who it was, but he would deep fry a turkey.
Yeah, that's big in the South.
I've never had the, you said it's big in the South?
Yeah, a lot of people deep fry their turkeys. I've never done it, because you've got to have the deep fryer that's big enough, and I don't have space for that, let's be honest. But right. I would do it.
And then, so I thought, oh man, that sounds great. Maybe I'll do that someday. And then I happened upon this little thing that they call YouTube. I don't know if you've heard of it. In fact, you can watch 49ers Talk on YouTube. And by the way, 49ers Talk, you know, you might know this, Laura, but it's 49ers Talk is brought to you by Planet Orange, effective eco-friendly pest control. But if you go to YouTube and you type in like, you know, turkey,
deep frying turkey.
Yeah. You see a lot of like mayhem.
Yes.
Like you see like frozen turkeys that are shot out like a cannonball.
It can go very wrong very fast.
And I think I have a kind of feeling that our podcast here has kind of gone wrong very fast. What the heck are we talking about?
It's Thanksgiving. You got to talk a little bit about food.
In public service announcements. That's what we do.
That is. Yeah.
Thaw your turkey before you deep fry it.
Do that. Thaw it before you cook it in the oven too. You should thaw. I mean, if you're already not thawing your, hopefully you're eating your turkey right now, but if you haven't thawed it already, then I'm guessing you're having a late night Thanksgiving.
Yes.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
So anyway, we've talked about the 49ers who may or may not be back. Kyle Shanahan isn't certain how many of these guys will be back. He is hoping, however, that four guys who are not on the COVID list will be back for this game. And those guys would be Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Deebo Samuel, and Richard Sherman. So we keep talking about this. At some point, more 49ers will be coming back to the team than leaving the team due to injury or COVID. But we're still not there yet. Potentially, this could be the week. But right now, as we approach this game, there are still seven 49ers on the COVID list and who are iffy for this coming up game.
Yeah, that's what's crazy is every week it's been something. Each week for the 49ers, it's been something. You think, okay, this week is the week. This is their time. This is their moment. They're going to get their guys back. And they're going to, and then, you know, against the Packers, we saw what happened with the COVID list. So it's been a roller coaster of an emotional season for the team and for our listeners, for 49ers fans. You came into 2020 with high expectations. That's not just in the Bay Area. I think people around the country thought of the 49ers as a potential team to return to the Super Bowl. I mean, Travis Kelce said after the Super Bowl, after the Chiefs won, that he thought it would be the 49ers and the Chiefs back in the Super Bowl again this year, which, you know, way too early prediction, right?
Yeah.
but that was the feeling around the NFL. This team is respected, and then the injuries happen, and then you kind of start to go, okay, well, maybe they can piece it together with these other guys. But each and every week it's been really almost a big hit every single week, it feels like. Now when you look back at the last Rams game, I think we talked about this a little bit on our last podcast. That was a week where I started to go, maybe this 49ers team can pull it off in 2020. Maybe they can do it without some of their, you know, best defensive players. Maybe they, but Jimmy Garoppolo was healthy. And so that's since gone. So, you know, it's just a tough season to unpack. And you also, it's hard to look ahead in this season, just like with, you know, outside of the NFL, we don't even know when our towns and our cities and our states are going to be out of lockdown, because you're in the clear for a while and then it comes back and the virus, you know, has a resurgence. So I feel like the NFL is kind of like a microcosm of what's going on in the country as a whole. And it's just unpredictable. And that's one thing we knew going into this season, was it was going to be very unpredictable. And here we are heading into week 12. And it's kind of just that.
Yeah. You know what else is unpredictable?
You are unpredictable.
A little bit, but I'm also like right in front of the shade of the house that we're doing this in. And there's this, like this, the light is coming through and it's right on my mouth. But anyway, those are very small concerns when opposed to some of the stuff that we've unfortunately had to talk about this season. But this is a big game. You know, if the 49ers have any hopes, they have to win this one. They did play well the week 6 game against the Rams. They really put the clamps on Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and Daniel Brunskill in the offensive line, did a really good job on Aaron Donald. And you'll be hosting all of our 49ers coverage leading up to the game and even after the game, all of our stuff on NBC Sports Bay Area. And so what are kind of the themes this week as we dissect these teams or look for themes to emerge from the 49ers and Rams game?
Well, I think one of the biggest themes is what you just mentioned with Aaron Donald. He did not get a sack against the 49ers, and we also discussed this on a previous podcast. You can go back and listen. I think that was a huge piece to what made the 49ers so successful. Also, the 49ers had great pass defense in their first game against the Rams. Will they be able to pull that off again against the talent that we've seen the Rams wide receivers are capable of? That's where I just – I wonder if the pass defense can hold up like they did in their first game against the Rams.
Especially with the defensive line kind of in flux. You know, we don't know how much these guys are going to be able to practice. If, you know, Eric Armstead, for instance, missed the Wednesday practice, should be out there for the Thursday. But the other guys on the COVID list, DJ Jones, Javon Kinlaw, Jordan Willis, those guys haven't practiced. So basically, because last week was the bye week, they haven't practiced in 2 weeks or darn near 2 weeks. So even if they are cleared late in the week to play, you know, how effective can they be on such, you know, when they haven't been out there doing their craft, working on getting better. So, you know, those are all things that remain to be seen.
Big O Tires Black Friday sale is here. Buy three, get one free on select in-stock tires with installation purchase. Plus, use your Big O card and get no interest if paid in full by January 1st, 2022. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
I know one of the topics that's come up, and we'll talk about Kyle Shanahan against Sean McVay. They both came into the league at the same time. From my standpoint, Sean McVay certainly inherited a really good team with the Rams. The 49ers roster was atrocious. But, I mean, I think these two guys have staying power, you know, despite what you see from the 49ers this year, 4-6. I mean, in my mind, Kyle Shanahan has proven himself. He is a good head coach. He will continue to be a good head coach. Sean McVay, I got to say, there was a little part of me early on where I just thought, is he that good of a coach, or is he just have really good players? And now I've certainly come around on him that he, you know, these two guys are going to be around a while. And, you know, the one thing that the Rams have going for them is Jared Goff has taken every snap this season. So their best quarterback has been out there on the field. The one thing among many things that Kyle Shanahan does not have going for him is that his best quarterback has been rarely healthy this season. So that's always a good matchup, a good fun matchup, Sean McVay against Kyle Shanahan. And when I'm at the NFL scouting combine, it's kind of fun to see those two guys in a room because, you know, one's like kind of the big brother and the other one's kind of the little brother. But they're very much equals when it comes to, you know, the success that they've already had as head coaches in the NFL, both having taken their respective teams to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they're both offensive masterminds and respected as that in the NFL. And that's one thing that I think 49ers fans can hold on to. When you look at Kyle Shanahan and you hear other coaches talk about him around the league, these are Pete Carroll, you know, coaches that have, Bill Belichick, guys that have been in the league for a long time, are well respected, are on the back end of their careers. They don't talk about Kyle Shanahan like he's, you know, not a threat. They understand how capable he is and what he brings to the table and his preparation. You know, I think the health has been the biggest concern. But when you think about last season for the Rams, I was just looking at their record, 9-7 last season. They had that was coming off of their trip to the Super Bowl. So the Rams are 9-7 last season, which was a down season for them. They were coming off of these high expectations, much like the 49ers, and they had, you know, some issues. And if the playoff rules were the same, they got changed this season, an additional team gets into the playoffs. And if that were the case, in 2019, the Rams would have made it. But, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right?
Yeah, or you could say if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we would all not have to eat turkey for Thanksgiving.
Nope, that's not the saying.
Okay, all right. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Okay.
Right, so the Rams didn't make the playoffs last season. But they were coming off of – it is kind of crazy when you look at the two teams side by side after their trip to the Super Bowl. I don't know, something to simmer on and maybe look forward to next season when everybody's hopefully healthy.
All these little cooking metaphors you're throwing in there.
Simmer. I'm hungry, Mayoko.
We're basting in football talk here today.
You're really going to butter him up, you know?
Yes. Speaking of food, new to the Wendy's two for $5 lineup is our classic chicken sandwich. So go grab a two for $5 deal and pick two of your faves. Price and participation may vary, limited time only. And Laura, I think you need to go eat or do something to satisfy your hunger. Yes. We'll be continuing to quench our thirst and our satisfy our hunger with 49ers talk, because after this message, we'll be bringing in our colleague Takeo Spikes to further break down the 49ers Week 12 game against the Rams.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing, each and every day. Speaking of price, now get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for your coupon today. Most vehicles discount off a regular price. See store for details. Charge for additional parts service if needed.
We're back on 49ers Talk. I'm Matt Maiocco, joined by my colleague Takeo Spikes. And Takeo, Laura and I were just talking about turkey. Turkey, does it need the gravy, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce? Does it need all those things, or just can turkey stand on its own?
Well, that's a great question, Matt, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I feel like I am one of the connoisseurs of being able to cook turkey without anything on it. Yes, it can stand by itself. The only way it can stand by itself, the chef has to prepare it, make sure you do a brine. Mm. After you do the brine, then you have to inject it. And I would say let it sit out, meaning sit in the refrigerator for at least 24 hours with the seasoning on it. Put the dry rub on top. I think you'll have a perfect combination to where you don't need anything. Now, the problem is you got to cook it at the right temperature, though. You got to pull it out when that breast, I want to say it hits 165. So if you do that, you'll have the perfect succulent turkey. Mm.
You know what? We should have done this episode like a week or two ago just to get people prepared for this, because now it's too late. They'll have to just kind of look at this. You know, maybe we'll bring it back next year and you can give the whole recipe and get
people properly prepared. Absolutely. It's only fitting. It's only fitting.
Hey, Pro Football Hall of Fame announced its 25 finalists or semifinalists. Takeo, you were a nominee. You did not make the list of 25. I'm sorry about that. Your name would fit in nicely on that list of 25, but it is a really strong list still. Yeah. With some 49er people, obviously Brian Young, Patrick Willis, John Lynch never played for the 49ers, of course, but he's been a finalist for a long time, and he is obviously the 49ers general manager. Anyone on that list kind of jump out to you, like maybe an under the radar guy or just somebody? I mean, we can all say, hey, Peyton Manning deserves to be in, but is there anybody that kind of jumps out to you as somebody who, you know, you're surprised they aren't in already, or they deserve to be in, you know, their time has come and now get them in?
Oh, it's time for Willie Anderson, offensive tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals, finished up his career as a Baltimore Raven. The reason why I say this is I have a lot of familiarity with Willie. Uh-huh. And to see this guy to be as big as he was, and he came in during the time to where it was all about the blind side. But he was the front side tackle. And Willie really was one of the guys to where it made a trend to make it, we need to have complementary tackles, because we all know from the blind side, you had, oh, during the era when I was playing left tackle that plays with Jacksonville.
Yeah, Tony Boselli.
Tony Boselli. And so what teams started doing was putting the best pass rush on the other side. So when Willie Anderson was drafted in 96, he put an end to all of that. And the reason why people don't know about him, because he was a victim of playing on bad football teams. Nobody ever got a chance to see him play. Hell, it was I want to say it took him maybe 6 years just to play on Monday Night Football, just because the record was so bad. So when we talk about players who are deservingly, like, accepted and they need to be in, I truly believe Willie Anderson, because if you ask any peers who played against him and you look at the longevity of his career, I think only giving up 15 sacks, playing double-digit years, and Lord knows, when you don't have a lead and you got to pass all the time, that's pretty damn impressive for what he was able to do. Another guy comes to mind, you mentioned it earlier, B.Y., Brian Young. One of the most dominant defensive tackles that ever played the game. I think it's time for him to get in. And then, of course, I have a little bias, but I played with a lot of great linebackers. Patrick Willis, regardless of the knock of maybe people may say, well, he didn't play long enough. I mean, he just dominated every year that he played. So there is no question that he needs to be in.
Yeah, no, those are all great picks. And, yeah, you're right. I think Willie Anderson, he kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit because he was a right tackle and not a left tackle. And kind of the stereotype is that teams put their best offensive linemen at left tackle. So that's a very good point, Takeo. Hey, so the 49ers, obviously, return to action on Sunday against the L.A. Rams. Must-win game. The Rams are playing some pretty good football. They look pretty good on Monday night, but then they have the quick turnaround. They played in Tampa. They fly back home. The 49ers will meet them down there. So as you look at this game, 49ers are going to be shorthanded. You know, we know about the injuries. Some guys are coming back. Kyle Shanahan doesn't expect some other guys to be available because of COVID-19 issues. So when you look at this, what's the formula for success for the 49ers to remain competitive and maybe beat the Rams for a second time this season?
And this is not a stretch, Matt, and I'm glad you brought that up. Maybe beat the Rams. Even though the Rams has the number one defense in the league, the number one passing defense in the league, only giving up 200 yards per game passing on the defensive side. I think the strength of this 49ers football team, outside of just being consistent offensive line play, is you look at the receivers. And what I mean by this is you take a look back, not only at the first game that they played against the Rams, but you look at last week, the first drive of the game when they played against the Saints. You know, you saw Richie James, Brandon Ayuk. These guys catching passes only 2 and 3 yards. But the desire to be able to extend the play to get the first downs and create more yardage out of it and other opportunities for this offense to continue to line up. This is who this offense is. You sprinkle in a little effectiveness on the run game. I think these guys will have a true opportunity to be able to come in. And the reason why I say this is there's no other team in the league that knows the Rams better than the 49ers. They play them 2 times a year. They're watching their moves. Every transaction that goes through that building, both teams are watching each other as well as players. And so when I see this and I think about what type of formula that the 49ers can do on the offensive side, this is something that they have to do. Don't try to put Nick Mullins into a position to where, hey, 3rd and 15, we got to take shots. No, the shots will let you know when they present themselves. Be effective, because I don't care what they're not giving up on the defensive side. When you talk about the Rams, I think the 49ers are a better team when it comes to having timing routes, throwing precision when it comes to 3rd and 3, 3rd and 5, in that 3 to 5 range. I think they'll be able to have some success there.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it serves a couple purposes, right? I mean, the 49ers, a lot of those receivers are good with the ball in their hands, but also, you know, Nick Mullins doesn't push the ball down the field super effectively, and it slows down the Rams' pass rush. I mean, I would imagine the last thing you want is for the 49ers to fall behind by 14 points in the first half and have to send Nick Mullins back into the pocket on 5 and 7 step drops with number 99, who wasn't real happy with the way he was shut out against the 49ers the first time, and probably even less happy about how people like me are still talking about how the 49ers got the better of Aaron Donald. So it all kind of fits together for that being the game plan for the 49ers, but they have to run the ball effectively, right? They have to get Raheem Mostert back there and get something going with the run game.
Yeah, you have to. And I think that's going to be the other thing. I talk about the strength, having these receivers making the catch when the necessary catches are there. But then you need Mostert there. You need him there to be able to, okay, after we set him up with the run it effectively, now we can create opportunities in the pass game and vice versa. And I tell you, you can have the all-time greatest pass rushers of all time on the defensive line playing against the 49ers. And I don't care who you have. If you're getting rid of the ball within 2.8 to 3 seconds, they're not going to get there. And that's what they did the first game when we saw this matchup. I'm excited to see the game because I think it's a big challenge. Mostert is coming back. So I think with the run game being there, I can see this game plan planning out to be the same way against the Saints, which ended in a touchdown on the first drive of the game.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats with a deposit today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
Hey, who was like the best, or name some of the best pass rushers that you played with? Guys that lined up in front of you, who, you know, if you're facing a passing team, your team relied on that player getting to the quarterback.
I think about Sean Phillips down in San Diego. I think about Justin Smith, Cowboy, one of the best pass rushers, interior pass rushers that ever played the game, in my opinion. I think about, I don't know. I played with so many guys.
I guess my point is, I remember like whenever the 49ers would play, say, the Saints, and, you know, Drew Brees gets rid of the ball so quickly, or any quarterback who isn't just sitting back there and firing the ball down the field, it would always seem to me that defensive linemen would get frustrated by the guy who maybe isn't even playing. You know, maybe it's not even a great offensive line, but these defensive linemen can't get to the quarterback because he's getting the ball out so quickly. So that kind of thing, I mean, that wears on defensive linemen, doesn't it?
Oh, no question. It wears big time. And this is what usually happens when that goes on. You mentioned Aaron Donald. He understands and knows that he was frustrated from last game, the first time that they played. So he wants to come in and make sure he's not going over after this second game. Clearly, he's probably looking at this game like, oh, yeah, I'm going to eat good backup quarterback in the game. However, playing with guys like this, it becomes so frustrating when offenses stay on key. They stay on pace, keep the chains moving, and you're almost there. We talked about, you know what, prime example. We talked about that kid who comes on Halloween and comes to the door late. Instead of him getting the Snickers, the Reese's, all of the baby Ruth, they're giving out fruit, apples and oranges and stuff like that. So it becomes so frustrating when he finally gets to the quarterback. Now you're going to play out of character. Chances are you're going to get an unnecessary roughness call. Now, I played with plenty of guys like that because they come back on the sideline. They over there like, man, we need to get to him. Coach, dial something up so we can get there faster. But if you get him rid of the ball within 2.8 to 3 seconds, it's damn near impossible.
You know, the 49ers did such a good job defensively against the Rams when they first played. Goff had 42 yards passing in the first half. Now, they made some big plays later in the game when they were getting back into it, but the 49ers won that game 24-16. I mean, is it too much to ask that they can put together two defensive game plans like that? Because, man, watching Robert Woods and watching Cooper Kupp against the Buccaneers on Monday, I was just kind of blown away with, man, these guys are good. And, you know, Goff is, you know, we can debate the pros and cons of Jared Goff, but that offense, when it gets clicking, it can really fire because of Woods and Kupp. So how do the 49ers even come close to replicating what they did back in week six.
I still think they do some of the same things. They understand tendencies like no other team. That's one thing that Tampa really didn't understand. I think the coaches understood it, but what separates great game plans being executed is the players understanding certain tendencies. And when you look at this 49ers defensive football team, they understand that from coaches all the way down to players. And so I think once you get a good beat on that, I think they can be able to turn out somewhat similar. Maybe, I don't know if you would say 40-something yards passing from Goff in the first half, but they can stop the explosives. And we all know if this football team is not clicking, they're not going to score the football, period. And so when we look at them in the turnover margin, when you look at the Rams, I want to say they're middle of the league, middle of the pack, sitting at zero. They do give the ball up quite a bit, 8 interceptions overall. And then also I want to say close to eight to 10 fumbles. And so when you look at that, it creates a lot of opportunity for these guys to be able to get the ball out and give the ball back to the offensive side, even create something special on special teams.
So, I mean, the 49ers' backs are against the wall. They're going to have to play a really good game to beat the Rams. They played the Rams earlier this year. They played a really good game to beat them. So, I mean, how do you see this game shaping up on Sunday, Takiya?
I am a Niner faithful, hopeful. I still think when you play in caliber teams like this, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to rely on a lot of things going right in order for the 49ers to win this game. But I do anticipate a close game. I'll say this, and I hate to use this. If the 49ers can force 2 turnovers, be plus 2 in the turnover section, I truly believe they will win this game.
There you go. They'll be eating the drumstick.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Takiya.
Hope it's not dry.
Well, if they brine it, it won't be.
Yeah.
Hey, Takiya, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll check in with you next week.
Same to you, Matt.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.